Today, macro versus company returns, what's driving the chaotic markets? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, go across to Europe and Asia, and then Australia, and also cover commodities and crypto. The roller coaster ride continued again this week on the markets as traders were dazzled by strong corporate results from Nvidia, underscoring the power of the AI supercycle on one hand, and by really mixed data signals on the other, thanks to a raft of better-than-expected purchase managers' indices data across the Northern Hemisphere, while rates higher for longer came back into focus with hopes of rate cuts being squeezed further. The economic data points to a strong economy and inflation that won't go away. Couple yesterday's PMI data with a slew of Fed speakers this week and the Fed minutes, which suggested that the central bank could keep rates higher for longer than expected, as well as a string of warnings on inflation from Federal Reserve officials, and investors have realized that either the Fed has no idea what it's doing when it comes to inflation and the path of monetary policy, or investors are starting to sense that the Fed rate hiking cycle may not be over. Financial markets are now fully pricing in just 1/4 point interest rate cut from the Federal Reserve this year, compared to the 6 built into futures prices at the start of 2024. Bond yields moved higher with the 2-year at 4.948, heading back up towards that 5% range, while the 10-year was at 4.457, remaining again in an inversion which just keeps going on. The dollar dipped against a basket of world currencies but remained well placed to resume its advance as strongly expected economic data has prompted markets to dial back those rate cut expectations. The dollar index fell 0.34% to 104.75 on Friday. Overlay the good news is bad news narrative on markets, and you begin to see the drivers of volatility this week. Although volatility, of course, allows traders to make a shed load of money in the absence of clear direction from data-dependent central banks. On Friday in light trading, Tesla, Meta Platforms, Nvidia, and Apple paced a strong rebound in New York after the latest University of Michigan survey found that consumers were somewhat less concerned about inflation than earlier this month, bolstering hopes of a pivot to rate cuts later this year, maybe. The S&P 500 closed at 5,304. That's up 0.3% higher on the week to extend its winning streak to 5 weeks. The NASDAQ composite rose 1.1% on the week and closed at a record high on the day at 16,920, reflecting the gains in Nvidia and Apple. And the Dow had its worst session in more than a year on Thursday, falling over 600 points, but then recovered on Friday to close at 39,069. US markets, by the way, will be closed on Monday for Memorial Day, and UK markets will also be closed that day for a bank holiday. Consumers expect prices will rise at a 3.3% annual rate over the next year, down from a 3.5% reading earlier in May, according to the University of Michigan data. In April, respondents expected year-ahead inflation of 3.2%. In addition, consumers now see inflation increasing 3% over the next 5 to 10 years, which is a downgrade from earlier in the month, and matches April's expectations. Oxford Economics said while inflation expectations continue to rise above their pre-pandemic range, they remain far below where they were last year. This, along with consumers' expectations that wage growth will slow, is a positive sign for the Fed that inflation is on a sustainable path back to its 2% goal. Analysts are all in the dither as higher for longer bites. In a note, Goldman Sachs said that it moved its forecast of the Fed's first rate cut back one meeting from July to September. Earlier this week, we noted that comments from Fed officials suggest that a July cut would likely require not just better inflation numbers, but also meaningful signs of softness in the activity or labour market data. After the stronger May PMIs and lower jobless claims, this does not look like the most likely outcome. Nvidia shares, of course, skyrocketed this week. In just 2 days, the tech company's stock rose more than 10%, and its market value has surged above $2.5 trillion US and is solidifying its position as the third most valuable company on Wall Street. This surge follows the release of an impressive quarterly report, the announcement of a dividend increase, and a stock split, all of which has propelled the stock upward. The outlook remains positive due to the strong demand for AI processors, but beware, with this explosive rise, the stock could be in overbought territory and somewhat overvalued. Additionally, there are risks of significant drops due to external factors, such as a cooling demand or trade blockades, which could intensify if Donald Trump is elected in the upcoming US presidential elections. Nvidia's decision to split its stock 10-for-1 next month is expected to start a trend among the mega-cap techs, according to the Bank of America. Historically, stocks have notched 25% total returns in the 12 months after a split is announced, compared to 12% for the broad index. Splits have boosted returns in every decade, including the early 2000s, when the S&P 500 struggled, they said. Bank of America said it sees both Meta Platforms and Microsoft as potential candidates for splits, given that their stocks are trading above $500 a share. Stocks with high share prices are typically prime candidates for split announcements. Management teams might feel that lower stock prices broaden access to the stock, or, in the case of Walmart, where the share price was not high, signal shareholder-friendly policies. But still, Bank of America says that while gains are more common and larger than losses on average after a stock split, outperformance is not a given. Stocks see negative returns about 30% of the time 12 months later, down 22% on average. While splits could be an indication of strong momentum, companies can struggle in a challenging macro environment. Companies like Amazon, Google, Tesla, and Dexcom struggled in the 12 months after splits were announced in 2022, as interest rates spiked, Bank of America said. And Amazon is a good example of how stocks can recover, however. It was up 26% in the 24 months after its split was announced. Wedbush Securities' Dan Ives this week, though, reiterated his view that while the bears will continue to harp on valuations of Nvidia, Microsoft, and others, we believe that investors that have missed the biggest transformational tech stocks the last decade, including Amazon, Netflix, Meta, Apple, and Alphabet, among many others, have dogmatically stuck with the forward PE valuation approach on these unique tech stories. For the elite transformational tech stories such as Nvidia and the AI revolution, investors must see the forest through the trees to where this spending wave and estimates can head over the next 3 years. And we believe 60 to 70% of enterprises will ultimately head down the AI use case path, as we estimate the $1 trillion US dollar of incremental AI spend of the next decade. And Ives also said, we believe a year from now, the $4 trillion club will include both Microsoft and Apple. Microsoft currently is at $3.2 trillion and Apple is at $2.92 trillion US dollars. So the question becomes, will the AI story swamp the negative higher for longer narrative, which still seems intact? Plus, we should remember that summer has historically been the slowest season for US stocks. The benchmark S&P 500 has risen 56% of the time since June through August, according to recent data, back as far as 1945. Traders on vacation and investors waiting for the fall corporate earnings before committing to next year's asset allocations often cited as reasons for the summer doldrums. Some say this typical summer slowdown in the US stock markets may be more pronounced this time, with inflation jitters and an early presidential debate that have the potential to weigh on the rally that has pushed the S&P 500 near record highs in recent months. The S&P 500 is nearly up 12% this year on strong earnings and signs that inflation may be falling enough for the Federal Reserve to cut benchmark interest rates, but that rally is unlikely to continue in the months ahead, some investors said. The S&P 500 is currently trading with a forward PE of 21.6, compared with roughly 17.5 back in October, when 10-year Treasury yields hit near two-decade highs. And yet, analysts at Bank of America says the S&P 500's strong first 100 days paves the way for a bullish rest of the year, According to the bank's research, when the S&P 500 is up more than 10% in the first 100 days, the rest of the year is also strong, up 76% of the time on an average return of 7.1%. Elsewhere, crude prices stayed on Friday, but with hefty weekly losses on concerns over US economic activity amid sticky inflation and higher interest rates. The US crude futures, the WTI, traded up 1.21% to $77.81 a barrel, while the Brent contract rose 0.9% to $82.16 a barrel. Both contracts posted weekly losses around 3%, with Brent at its weakest level in 2 months, while WTI was at a three-month low. All eyes are now on the next meeting of the OPEC Plus at the start of June. The group of producers are expected to discuss whether to extend voluntary oil output cuts of 2.2 million barrels per day. And additionally, gold futures slid slightly to $2,335 an ounce, well off recent highs, reflecting investors' increasing doubts about a rate cut by the US Federal Reserve in September. European equities have traded lower at the end of the week, tracking weakness in Asia and also Wall Street, as increasing anxiety over sticky US inflation and high interest rate battered sentiment towards risk-driven assets. The DAX index in Germany traded slightly higher, the CAC 40 in France fell a tad, while the FTSE 100 in the UK dropped 0.26%. The European Central Bank is still widely expected to cut interest rates in June, but UK inflation came in higher than expected earlier in the week. That creates difficulties for the Bank of England. See my earlier show. And the UK election campaign is now in full force, with politicians selecting the good news on inflation as proof things are getting better, even if, in truth, the data is more complex and the good news perhaps only short-lived. In fact, the structural deficits, which should be haunting the campaigns, will probably be largely ignored. And data released early on Friday showed that British retail sales fell by more than expected in April, dropping by 2.3% on a monthly basis, as wet weather kept shoppers away from clothing retailers and sports stores. The euro-US dollar traded 0.31% higher to 1.0847 after the German economy grew by 0.2% in the first 3 months of 2024, according to data from the Statistical Office reported on Friday, which confirmed preliminary data. And data released this week also showed that wage growth in the euro area increased 4.7% in the first quarter. That's a red flag for officials who have been banking on a slowdown to keep inflation in check. European and British stocks would have had a good run this year, as both Britain and the eurozone economies escaped a recession, are either predicted to make little headway or shed a little from here to the end of the year. The euro stocks 600, France's CAC 40, and Spain's IBEX, which are up 11.6%, 7.9% and 12.2% respectively, are now, according to a recent Reuters poll, likely to slide, with the FTSE, the European Stock 600 and German's DAX index falling 1.4%, 1.9% and 0.2% respectively between now and the end of the year. Now in Asia, the US dollar-Japan exchange rate gained 0.5% to 157.01, with the pair rising to a three-week high, extending a rebound from lows hit in the immediate wake of government intervention seen earlier in May. The yen took little relief from consumer price index data, which showed inflation eased as expected in April as spending remained weak. Core CPI, which excludes volatile fresh food prices, rose 2.2% year-on-year in April, according to data from the Statistics Bureau. The reading was in line with expectations and eased from 2.6% in the prior month. A core CPI reading that excludes both fresh fruit and food prices, and which is used as a key gauge of underlying inflation by the Bank of Japan, sank to 2.4% in April, compared to 2.9% in March. The reading was at its weakest level since September 2022, and was far below a 40-year peak that was hit in the middle of 2023. Headline CPI inflation rose 2.5% from 2.7% in the previous month, and the soft CPI reading raises doubts over the Bank of Japan's forecast of higher inflation in the coming months, and also brought up questions over how much headroom the central bank has to keep raising interest rates this year. The Nikkei index in Japan dropped over 1.25% on Friday, landing at 38,614, while the TOPIX was at 2,742. China was hit with a wave of negative sentiment this week as a trade war with the US appeared to have escalated, and the People's Liberation Army was also seen conducting military drills near Taiwan, pointing to worsening tensions in the region. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices fell 1.1 and 0.88% respectively, extending sharp declines from the prior sessions. But Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index saw outsized losses, hit by an extended rout in heavyweight technology stocks. The index slid 1.3% on Friday, adding to a 1.7% drop on Thursday. Alibaba Group fell another 1% following a 5.2% tumble in the prior session after it said that it was issuing $5 billion in convertible bonds to spur growth. And losses in the tech giant dragged its peers Baidu and Tencent Holdings lower, while investors collected profits in property stocks in anticipation of yet more insight into Beijing's stimulus measures. Samsung Electronics dropped over 2% on Friday after Reuters reported that the memory chip making giant's high bandwidth memory chips, the HBMs, were still not meeting Nvidia standards due to heating and power issues. The report highlighted potential issues with the firm's ambitions to gain a foothold in advanced HBM chips, demand for which is set to grow exponentially on the back of AI. Losses in Samsung dragged South Korea's KOSPI index over 1.25% lower, and Samsung's peer SK Hynix, which supplies HBM chips to Nvidia, also fell just slightly. India's Nifty 50 index was slightly lower, with the index seeing profit-taking after clocking record highs on Thursday, and a Wall Street sell-off rattled Australian capital markets on Friday as bond yields rose and investors trimmed rate cut bets, sending technology, retail and banking sector shares sharply lower. On the day, the ASX 200 lost 1.1% to 7,727 in a broad-based sell-off to equal a loss of 1.1% over the week. The Australian dollar fell to 66.29 US cents. The financial sector, dominated by big banks, dropped 1.2% as profit takers stepped in. Commonwealth Bank lost 1.54% to 118.87, and NAB was down 1.28% to $33.96. This after the Senate released their final report on bank branch closures, which suggests forcing a service obligation on the banks. More of this in future shows, including a live Q&A with Robbie Barwick on my Tuesday live stream. Retail conglomerate Wesfarmers lost 3.8% to $63.87, and the tech sector fell 1.5%, led by Xero, which fell 2.7% to $131.19. NextDC lost 2.2% to $70.59, and WiseTech finished down 1.4% to $98.67. The consumer sector was also weaker, with the supermarket giants Woolworths and Coles down more than 1% to $31.08 and $16.11 respectively. Among the miners, iron ore major Rio Tinto slipped 0.75% to $130.50, and mineral resources dropped 1.9% to $75.30. Elsewhere, disclosure showed that fund manager Perpetual lifted its stake in ailing casino operator Star on May the 21st from 7.4% to 8.8%. Star's shares still finished lower, off 1% to 47 cents. BHP is running down the clock in its effort to win over Anglo-American, and Liberum Capital is sceptical an agreement will be reached. In a note, Liberum said that it thinks the success of BHP's bid comes down to whether BHP can mitigate the risk of the proposed structure for Anglo-American shareholders by May the 29th. BHP have already offered to bear the brunt of the demerger costs, a possible $2 billion US dollars of capital gains taxes, and loss $2.5 billion of market cap. Can or will they underwrite or offer downside protection for the spin-offs? Are Anglo's board and management genuinely engaging or throwing a bone to the pro-deal shareholders? Deal more likely than it was, but still too much of a stretch, they said. Finally, in crypto, large Bitcoin holders known in the crypto community as whales have decided to take advantage of the current Bitcoin dip. Over the last 24 hours, the world's flagship cryptocurrency plunged by 4.2%, dropping from 69,900 to 66,900. However, a rebound followed back up to 69,000 at the time of writing. It was while Bitcoin dropped below the 67,000 level that Wales decided to buy the dip and scooped up as much as 20,000 Bitcoins. This amount of the leading digital currency is valued as a staggering $1.34 billion in fiat. And the plunge in Bitcoin also coincided with the approval of the Ethereum spot ETFs issued by the Securities and Exchange Commission on Thursday. These Ethereum exchange-traded funds got approved half a year later than the spot Bitcoin ETFs. They got a green light by the regulators back in January. However, experts believe that demand on the spot Ethereum ETFs will not be as strong as for the Bitcoin exchange-traded products, but we'll see. So standing back, signs of the consensus belief in a soft landing, interest rate cuts, and resilient growth in earnings are everywhere. There's the grind higher in share market indices, despite rich valuations and non-existent risk premiums. That's the difference between earnings yields and bond yields. Former Bank of England Governor Mervyn King argued that groupthink had prevented the British Central Bank and the Federal Reserve from identifying that inflation was not transitory. The lack of dissent on both banks' rate-setting committees, King said, meant that at a point when it really mattered, we didn't see a good deal of challenge to the prevailing narrative. King's criticism seems particularly pertinent in a week in which one of the biggest bears on Wall Street, Morgan Stanley strategist Michael Wilson, turned bullish. Nvidia, of course, surged to a market capitalization of $2.5 trillion. And UBS has declared that the ASX appears to be in the grip of a mini melt-up. So, if you sat out of this bull market since it began in October 2022, you've missed a 45% gain on Wall Street, a 16% gain on the ASX since November 2023. Those markets are up 28% and 13% respectively. But just remember, rate cuts keep getting pushed out on sticker inflation. More households are in a cash flow bind, and the marginal credit default rates are rising. A recession in Australia is still quite possible, and company earnings could well normalise lower. While some companies could do well in this environment of higher costs, higher investment spend, and higher interest rates, intense focus on cost cutting that we've seen across the markets reached a new level this week as Telstra announced that it would slash 2,800 jobs to save $350 million. We can expect more of the same in coming months from many other players. So here it's worth remembering the words of an eternal bull in the late great Charlie Munger, who urged investors to invert, always invert, turn a situation or problem upside down, look at it backwards. What happens if our plans go wrong? Where don't we want to go? And how do you get there? Wise words, I think, in the current environment. Markets probably will go a bit higher, but under the surface, cracks are emerging, and those cracks are likely to get quite a lot bigger. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.